The text for this evening's lesson comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they may be saved." Let me ask you a question. Obviously, this is a rhetorical question. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? I can promise you that anybody that has stood behind a pulpit, if you'd ask Rick or my dad or Jeff or anybody that stood and presented a lesson or even a Bible class, and myself included, when I present a lesson, I am talking to myself. You just get to hear it out loud. And this topic of prayer, the subject of prayer, is very much the same. I hope as Christians, we examine our prayer life daily. Is it what it needs to be? Do I have a prayer life? And if I do, what's its condition? There are days that I will tell you, my prayer life is pretty good. And there's days I'll tell you, my prayer life isn't very good. But as Christians, that's the struggle that we have. And so I hope that your prayer life is good. But Paul says here in Romans, he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God." God wants us to pray to Him. God wants us to ask Him to help us. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So the first thing about our prayer life is our life with God has to be righteous. What's that mean? It means I got to have a right relationship with Him. He's there. And He'll listen to me. But I've got to be in a right relationship with Him. And so the first thing, I guess, when we examine our prayer lives, we have to, that's what we examine. Where are we? Where do we stand? Where do we stand with God? God has given us this beautiful tool of prayer. He speaks to us through His Word, and we can read that, and we can study that, and I hope we do that. But the Father in heaven listens to us. The creator of this universe, we read this morning, He's the Alpha and the Omega, the one that created everything we see, the one that created things we haven't even seen yet, and we'll probably never will see what's out there, but the Father takes time to listen to us. That should make us feel special. That should make us happy. Knowing that the creator of this universe thinks that much of me and of you, that if we're righteous and we pray to Him, He's going to hear it. John chapter 17 and verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You." So who do we pray to? Well, we pray to the Father. That should be special to us. We shouldn't take that for granted. We pray to the Father in heaven. In 1 John chapter 5 and 14 it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now there's a little catch. Anything we ask according to His will. Sometimes I'm really good at asking for things, but maybe what I'm asking for is my will. And I'm sure glad that the Father in heaven knows what's best for me. Because sometimes when I think I know what's best for me, it's not. But He always knows what's best for us. And maybe sometimes if we pray to Him and we think we really want something and we really, really open up our hearts, we pray to Him and He doesn't answer the prayer the way we want it to be answered, maybe we don't know why sometimes. Maybe we don't understand why. Maybe we don't understand why until a little bit later down the road. You see, God knows the big picture. We mentioned in Bible class Wednesday night that God sees the big forest. And sometimes all we see is just one tree in that forest. And I'm so glad God can see the entire forest. Because sometimes I'm looking at what's right in front of me. And sometimes I'm looking at just what I have right here or what I know is coming up next. And I don't know what's going to happen down the road. And sometimes when I pray, I might think that's what I want. But God says, no, this really isn't what's going to be best for you. But if I pray to Him according to His will, He's going to answer that prayer. And He's going to bless us. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 17. Paul says, but God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. God took us from being slaves of sin, and He made us slaves of righteousness. We've got to obey Him. We've got to have our heart in the right place. I can't just go do what I want, what I want, how I want, and then when that goes bad, all of a sudden say, well, I'm going to have God ask God to get me out of this situation. And then I'm just going to keep doing whatever I want to do, however I want to do it. And then when something bad happens, I'm going to ask God again to help me out of this situation. You see, we can't just use God and put Him on the shelf until we need Him. I'm sure you've heard He's not a genie. He's not one of those little jack-in-the-box things that you crank and it pops up. That's not what God is. God's our Father. We don't get to just use Him when we feel it necessary. We should want to use Him all the time. And when we're facing those struggles and those trials, He should be the very first thing that we do. We should get on our knees and open up our hearts and ask Him to help us. We looked at, read 1 Peter 3 just a second ago, and it said about that He answers the prayers of the righteous. So the first thing is, I've got to be a child of His. I've got to take that step to take on Jesus Christ in baptism. If I want God to bless me, if I want to have those blessings and have that security that God gives us, and I want God to hear the prayers of the righteous, I have to be righteous. Which means I've got to give up all these old things. I've got to give up my will. And I've got to go to what His will is for me. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So if I want God to hear my prayers, and I want to have that special relationship with God, I've got to remain faithful until death. And that is a lot easier said than done sometimes. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make the wrong decision. I'm going to make the wrong choice. And I'm going to take things for granted. I'm going to take my prayer life for granted sometimes. And I'm going to take Jesus dying on that cross for granted sometimes. Because I'm a sinner. But he says, remain faithful until death. And if we do that, if we remain faithful to him, he's promised us something amazing. And we talked about it in our lesson this morning. He's promised us that crown of life, and that's heaven. That's the eternal home with him that as Christians, we mentioned this morning, we long for. We can't wait to receive that reward. And our prayer life is a big part of that. We need to pray every day that God gives us the strength and gives us the courage and God gives us the knowledge that we need to make it through this life. Sometimes we need to pray for patience. Sometimes we need to pray for healing. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, do we? Sometimes we're in such a rut or we're going through some situation and we don't even know where to start with God. We don't know what to say. But God knows our hearts. And he knows what we really need. And if we open up to him, he's going to supply those needs. Matthew chapter 6. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 9 says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A prayer that Jesus said. That prayer shows that we are and we need to be dependent upon the Father. We need to depend on him. We need to lean on him. As kids, we depend on our parents. And then when we have kids, they depend on us. She cried when I told her to. That was a cue. She did good. Right on the spot. Thank you. We need to be dependent on the Father. We need to have our every need be supplied by God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then it says, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Your will, Father. No matter what that means, your will. And I know Rick's mentioned this several times, but we can go back to that garden when Jesus was on his knees in prayer, praying fervently to the Father. We can't even imagine how hard Christ was praying. Can't even imagine that. But Jesus prayed, not my will, Father, but your will. And if Jesus, the Savior of this earth, can pray that prayer to his Father, I certainly think we can too. It has to be his will. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, only because I've got it memorized. First Thessalonians, I can't say it, but I can memorize it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. It means I have to pray all the time. I have to be in constant prayer, It has to be regular practice. I have to just make it. I hate the word routine because it's not a routine, but it has to be a part of my life daily. I have to, and it certainly is not a habit, but I have to pray to Him every day. And hopefully, if as we grow and as we mature spiritually and we learn how to depend on God more and more and more and more, that when we find ourselves in those problems and we find ourselves in those situations, that we automatically pray to God. That we pray so much that's the first thing we think about is praying to the Father. My prayer has to be a regular practice in my life. In Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 37. It says, then he said to his disciples, he being Jesus, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We have to be willing to be the answer to our prayers. If I pray to God, Father, give us opportunities to teach your word. If I pray to God, Father, give me a chance to spread the gospel. Give me somebody to talk to. If I pray that prayer, I better be ready for it. I better be ready to be the answer. Because God's going to give us those opportunities. We don't know when. We don't know how sometimes. And I know myself, I can look back and think, man, I missed that opportunity. And I'm guessing we probably all could. But if I pray to Him, Father, give us work to do in your church, that means I want to be a part of that work. And just imagine if everybody at the Maslin congregation prayed that prayer and really meant it and really, really meant it and they wanted to do the good work. And just imagine if every one of us had an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. What would that do? We don't have to do it hundreds at a time or 20 at a time. What if every one of us, just one person we talked to this week about Jesus Christ? Think about what would happen to the kingdom. That should be our desire. That should be what my heart wants to do. If I put God as the center of my life and I pray to Him for His will to be done, then His will is for all of us to be saved. To go out and teach the gospel to all living creatures of every nation. That's His will. That's His charge. When I pray to the Father, I need to pray for opportunities to do that. Then I need to be ready to do those opportunities. Because He's going to give them to us. But He's not going to leave us alone when we do it. He's not going to say, well, here you go, good luck. We can think of others in the Bible that He's given tasks and charges to and those kind of things. And He didn't just leave them alone. He said, I'm gonna give you the answers to the test. I'm going to help you. And that's what He's going to do with us. He's going to be there for us. He's always going to be there for us. He's never going to leave us. But sometimes we're going to leave Him. And then we need to ask Him to take us back. We pray to the Father. We need to remember we're praying to the One that created us. And that special relationship that we have with Him is like no other. There's people in this world that are going to let you down. But God the Father will never let us down. Truly let us down. We might not always understand everything. We might not always get it. Sometimes we may never get it. But that's okay. Because he knows what's best for me. He knows the direction I need to go in. And if we ask him fervently, if we open up our hearts and we get on our knees and we just truly ask him to bless us and help us, then he's going to do that. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for these opportunities we have to gather. And Father, we are so grateful for this time that we have that we can pray to you. And we can ask you for your help, Father. We can ask you for your guidance. And Father, I hope and I do pray that each and every one of us has a healthy prayer life with you. And that our relationship is where it needs to be, Father. But we know at times we're going to sin. And at times we're going to fall short of your glory. And Father, when we do, we're sorry. And Father, we're sorry that our sin is what put Jesus Christ on that cross. And we're sorry that the pain that he had to suffer was because we are sinners. But Father, we're so grateful that he loved us so much that he allowed himself to be crucified. That he left you from heaven, Father, and he came on this earth. And he walked as we walk. He faced temptations as we face temptations. And he faced pain as we face pain, Father. And then he took on all of our sins. And he washed them away from us. Father, I hope that when we do pray to you, that we pray with a heart, Father, that wants to hear your answers. And that, Father, we are satisfied with whatever answer you give us. And that we do always pray, Father, not our will, but your will. And that we always put you first. We love you, we thank you. It's in your Son's name that we do pray. And amen. So how's your prayer life? Is it what it needs to be? Do we use it daily? Do we take advantage of our Father in heaven and that he listens to us and he hears us and he wants to help us? Or do we get all tripped up in ourselves and wrapped up in ourselves and we put ourselves first? Are we selfish? Or do we allow him to help us? Communication is a great thing. Our communication to the Father is through prayer. And if you're here this evening and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have an opportunity now to become righteous in his eyes. To take on Jesus Christ in baptism and let your sins be washed away and you're cleansed and the old person is gone and become up a new spiritual person in Christ. But maybe you have done that. But you've not had a relationship with God that you need to have. Every day we need to ask God to forgive us. And every day we need to ask God to help us. And he will. And we need to be confident that when he asks us, when we ask him to help us, that he will do that. He loves us. He sent his Son to die for us. He didn't create us to condemn us, but he created us so we can work on this earth and save as many souls as we can. And he's promised us that eternal home with him. He'll never break his promise to us. We just have to accept that gift. If the church can do anything to help you tonight, make it known as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, the first rain.